The following show contains spoilers for episode 8 of Survivor 46. Hello again.
Oh, hello again.
Oh, Tune, you made a mistake. By opening the show, you've indicated to me that you think of yourself as a leader, somebody that's going to like lead the charge in decisions made. And I can't have that.
We need to get rid of
it. Big mistake. Guys, hear me out. We should beat me to death with hammers. Thoughts? Am I playing the game correctly? Am I cooking?
Potentially.
Yes.
Cool.
It's working so far.
Well, I'm still here, so.
All right.
I also have this weird hoodie thing around my waist.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where it came from.
It's a Freddy.
Wow. That's fun. All right. Hey, you two. What's up?
Hi. Big mistake. Asking how we're doing is in it.
All right.
It's an admission of weakness, you know, putting others' feelings before your own game.
True. Big mistake.
All right. Ask me a question about Q, and I'll tell you, why he's the best to ever play this game. I'm curious.
Why do you think he's the best to ever play this game?
You're going to have to be more specific than that.
What do you want from... what brilliant moves did Q make this episode?
This episode? Okay. So, Q basically shows us a master class in Survivor on this episode, even though it looks like it is a complete train wreck. I think this is the episode where Q really takes the strategies of Boston Rob and the hypothetical strategy of Philip Shepherd, combines them, and becomes the ultimate disarming mastermind Survivor player.
Not to mention a little bit of a Zane Knight sprinkled on top, just to give it that extra chaos factor.
Right. So when you think about...
Is he a mob boss or is he a federal agent? You can't be both.
No. So the federal agent part, not necessarily as relevant. But what's more relevant is just the complete disarming of the people around him by acting so, like, incapable of any intelligent thought, that people like are no longer able to see him as a threat. So when we're in the new era, right? Like, why are people getting voted out around this time in the merge? Like, why? Like, what?
Biggest threat.
Right. They're going for the biggest threat in the game. Whether it's like an immediate threat or they're looking down the line, like that is just where the target lands. And Q has done an incredible job here of moving the target off of himself entirely, while also setting himself like up to get the boots he wants, even if they're not in perfect order. Like, Q did not want Tevin to go here, but it still works out because of all of the layers he set up. So I lost my train of thought a little bit. But basically, I think what Q really does here is, I don't even know where to start. So we have the six, right? The six has been like the kind of premier alliance that's been building up over the whole season. But Q doesn't really have any specific attachment to the six. It's just a vehicle for him to move farther in the game while lowering like the capabilities of anybody around him.
But do you guys think that like when push comes to shove, if that Q has a chance to usurp Homelander as the leader of the six?
So honestly? Yes.
So basically, here's my point.
They're both sociopaths, right?
Yeah. I don't think he's a sociopath. I think right now
the people outside the six are like the default target, right? Everyone should be looking at a target outside the six. But Charlie says this, because the six is so like big and loose that people are just going to immediately start calling out names against people who are in the six because it's kind of impossible not to. Thus constantly making a new target appear that he can like start pointing at, right? And we see him do this like with Tiffany, with Charlie a little bit. I think what he does with Tiffany is great here, especially because it seems like a bad move for him to like be telling everybody that she has an idol, right?
Yeah.
But instead he's doing this in a way that like makes sense in context of like he's trying to get people to start thinking about Tiffany. So he gives up that information to lower Tiffany's ability to have like any footing in the game compared to him.
And he doesn't care that Tiffany is like upset at him.
Right, because he can just figure that out later. And he's shown he's very good when he's like putting in the effort at like building connections and kind of making things fun, because he does it with the Q skirt this episode.
Right, okay.
I just have some random scattered notes. But I think another very impressive move is how Q kind of has this playbook of like calling out that he's quitting multiple times, right? And we even hear about this like from Jelinski at the very beginning of the season, which I also have more to talk about. But what he's doing is he's kind of doing the fake vulnerability thing. He's like a cat exposing his belly, right? But as soon as you go to pet it, poof, he bites you.
Sure.
Let me talk more about Jelinski, right?
So, okay, go for it.
What did we just see happen in season 44 when it comes to the tribes and the merge, right? You have this tribe that keeps losing, and then they go to the merge, and what happens? They get all the power because they're in the middle, and that's pretty much exactly how things have been going. So by getting rid of Jelinski right at the start, he's just completely killing any chance of Yanu winning the challenges, because Q is already throwing every challenge. We already know this, right? So by forcing his tribe to lose challenges over and over and over, what he's actually doing is setting them up to be in a better position in the merge. And it's working.
Do you believe that that has been his plan all along?
Yes.
This is a man who, in his pre-game interview, said, "I will never throw a challenge."
It's an act. He's playing all of it. Yeah, let me go into more notes I have. Okay.
So please do.
What does Q say this episode about taking goats to the end?
He doesn't want to play that game.
He doesn't want to play the game because it's stupid and it doesn't make sense. However, he's not throwing votes on the goats. He's taking the heat off them so he can take them himself to the end. He's even telling others that the idea is terrible, right? Like the goat strategy, so whack, right? But he wants to say that to the strong guys to keep them comfortable, right? Because this happens all the time. They're in the tribe. People are about like, oh, you know, let's get rid of, you know, the weak players or whatever, right? For example. Then all the other weak players are like, wait, that's a terrible idea because then I'm next. It's the same when people are like going for like, let's go for the strong players, because then the strong players know they're next. So he's telling the strong players that they want to get rid of the weak players, but he can just keep the weak players for later for himself.
But didn't he also say this in confessional? And isn't the point of confessional to be like, there's no gameplay?
You ever hear of method acting? The only way Q can pull off this whole farce is if he completely immerses himself in the character. And it's hard.
The Philip strategy.
It's a hard character to play, and that's why he can't take a break from it, or he's not going to be convincing. He has to completely, fully commit to it, and really the confessionals are where he can kind of practice that the best because there's less pressure.
You know, we went into the first half of this episode, Q was just, like, basically power tripping constantly.
Because he knows he has this in the bag. He's literally playing games with everyone around him. He's giving the show the narrative, you know, that they want to hear about, you know, oh, I know this is what this person's doing based on how they hide and seek. But really, he's just laughing as they're all playing a children's game out in the jungle.
You see, I thought at the start of this episode that the way this episode was going to go is we were going to be given the perspective of Q in total control, and then we were going to get blindsided by the show and have Q go home.
No, Q's not going home. Why would anyone target him after this point?
That's true.
People are going to be afraid of him, and they were saying this during Tribal. It's like, oh, he's unpredictable. He might do this again. But he can go back to camp, and now, you know, because he's acting the whole time, now he can come off as much more careful and reasonable, and people will kind of start to forget because the game moves super fast. All that needs to happen is for him to start talking about the next person to go, and then he won't really be a consideration anymore, because Yanu hogged all the tribal councils at the first half of the game, and the other tribes are still like just so ready to vote anybody off they can. That's why Tevin got rid of Soda, which was a huge, you know, mistake for him, obviously. When Nami should have probably kept the numbers, they just couldn't bear themselves anymore. So he's still just taking advantage of everything in the game has the offer.
My only concern with this is that I feel like Tiffany specifically will still kind of want Q out at this point because she just can't work with him,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And this is where Q can start to, you know, push more attention towards Tiffany, keep the votes off of himself. But by pushing for Tiffany at the start, people are going to not want to follow his lead because of what happened in this tribal. So what he's actually going to be doing is keeping the vote away from Tiffany because people are going to associate it with being a bad idea.
So then he presents a plan. This is like too
much 5D chess for me.
So he presents a plan that he doesn't actually like in order to present it as if it's a bad idea.
Yes.
And it would, like, by default, or by process of elimination, lead them to the vote that he does want.
Right. Because what's the logical next vote?
Logical next vote is probably like Ben, Liz, Venus, right. Something
Liz.
Like that.
It's Liz, because Liz is the mastermind who blindsided Soda and Tevin. Two in a row. They can't let her right. farther into the game.
Right.
And Liz is going to tell people, too. She's not going to be able to let that one go. Because she was talking about how she's so fed up with Tevin and Venus getting all the credit, right? But she right. wants the credit. She wants them to know now. She can't wait for the final three jury. She has to tell them now.
And ultimately, that's going to be what does pissing me off so much at like the very start of this episode. We have the three of them, Q, or was it Q or Tevin? I can't remember now who was bragging at the start of the episode. Liz, Venus, and was it Q or Tevin?
Tevin.
I genuinely can't remember. Tevin, yeah.
It's definitely Tevin.
They were all bragging so much at the start of the episode about getting rid of Soda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like,
it's because they haven't been to that many tribal councils because Q made Yanu go every time. So they're all new to the game. They're just too eager to strike. And once they do go to tribal, they can't help but talk about how excited they are to have finally done something in the game, thus exposing themselves.
So what you're saying is Q is the greatest Survivor player of all time, replaced Jeff Probst as the host of Survivor.
I don't think he needs to replace Jeff. I think he's going to run through this game. He's going to laugh faces in the
Ken
final
Jennings
three.
Replaced Alex Trebek, another irreplaceable icon. And Ken Jennings, despite, you know, his controversies, was the best Jeopardy player of all time.
Let's maybe rephrase that.
We've got two CBS shows going on here.
Ken Jennings did not replace him. He took the spot after he died.
Mm-hmm. You think Jeff's going to live forever, do you?
Well, no, but I just feel like the term replace kind of indicates a decision was made to remove Alex Trebek for Ken Jennings. That's not the case.
Are you trying to say that I was besmirching the name of a beloved Canadian icon?
Yes.
You're dead ass wrong, motherfucker.
I didn't catch all of that, but I got the intent.
Yeah. So,
anyways, how about that challenge?
I just don't think
right?
there's any alternative option. He just has the game.
There's no other. They're just simply. It's not even like a. I think it's highly likely. It's that there is no other.
I just can't see it.
Universe. There's just no other universe
I think
where
he's
Q
just
doesn't
so
win.
Much in everybody else's head that there's just no option. You know, like, okay,
you're cooking.
Think about this. Think about Last of Us, right?
Okay, I'm
like
thinking.
How Charlie keeps dunking on Q.
Yeah.
But did you realize that that's actually just because Q is trying to make Charlie feel comfortable and make allow Charlie to think that he
that
is
he's
better
ahead
than
of him.
Q? Right. But Q is the one, again, it's the kitten on the kitten belly thing, right? It's just all about making everybody else on the season feel like Q is not a threat because he's just playing. His threat management is unparalleled,
right?
And he's this big strong guy, right? And he's social and he's funny, but no one's worried about him because he's managing that by being a little wacky.
So I mean, I think the one question that we still have to bring up here is Toon, would you buy a Q skirt?
I already own a Q skirt.
That is kind of true. Would you wear a Q skirt, maybe, is the question.
I've been wearing it all day.
Cool.
I I don't know what you mean.
I guess we should. Do we have anything more to say that we haven't already said about the hide and seek game?
I think.
I mean, we didn't directly.
It's just so silly.
We didn't really directly address it. We've kind of been joking around the entire subject, but
referencing
like...
it. Yeah, I think it is so funny. I think it's such great TV, and the fact that like the one other person that like kind of independently bought into the hide and seek psychology, being Venus, the other most delusional person on the season, is just it's poetry. And it's like part of it can obviously be editing. It's like maybe everyone talked about like things like that, but like it's just the story that's being told, it's magical.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and you know, we know this with like escape rooms, of course, but like I think just giving adults the opportunity to be kids again is like they eat it up, right? Like scavenger hunts, hide and seek, like anything like that that just allows them to like tap into being a kid a little bit, but with the advantage of now being an adult and thus like way more capable than they would have been as a child, is like such an exhilarating feeling, right? Because like Hunter as a kid, probably like not climbing up that high. Ben, like, probably not smart enough to, like, camouflage like that. You know, we see a lot of other people, like, not hide very well. But the ability to, like, and this is, like, all of Survivor and all the challenges, right? But, like, just being a kid, but being way more physically and mentally able than a child is a great feeling.
Yeah.
So it's they're fun out there.
That's very true.
And I know Soda's, different. Like, missing out because Soda's, like, the camp counselor out there. But yeah. It seems like they just kind of reduced that to her, like, singing songs instead of, like, bringing actual fun things out there.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of Hugh's strategy. Once Soda's out, he's like, there's now, like, a happiness power vacuum here that I can take the place of. And in the context of everything else he's doing, it like, fills in the energy rather than, like, putting people off in the way that like Soda kind of did, right? Making her more of like a threat, whereas Q does it and it's like, oh, he's like a silly quirked up little guy.
Yes, someone you can't take seriously.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. I think you're cooking. And we had the perfect ending to the whole thing where everyone goes back to camp. Q looks up and is like, Hunter's right there.
Of course, like, because Q knew the whole time.
Of course,
from the very beginning of the game, he knew Hunter was there. But you know, why spoil that when he could continue to build the narrative, right? That Hunter is goated in the challenges, right? Because if Hunter's the best in challenges, then it's definitely not Q. So we shouldn't get rid of Q for being a challenge threat. He's just playing with them all. It's insane to watch.
If Q wins this season, it might be one of the best seasons of Survivor of all time. I will say that because this would be a one-of-a-kind season, or like one-of-a-kind winning game.
Right.
I think you might be cooking.
Yeah, let's just say, you know, sometimes wackadoodles win.
So then the question is, the real question is, who do you trade for Q?
No, I'm going to let Soaring hold on to Q, actually, because he deserves it. He deserves the
right,
points
of,
for
of
having
course,
the,
of course.
The initial draft.
Right, of course. Any thoughts on all of this, Soaring, now that your guy has been gassed up to in such a fashion?
This is where I step aside for a little confessional. I am not convinced that I'm not being gaslit by the other players right muted. Now.
I know.
thinking that I have a champion on
we'll
my
go
hand.
In a second.
And that they're wanting me to hold on to Q for dear life and not make any attempts at trading. I can't tell if they're trying to do that or not. It scares me, frankly.
California girls are unforgettable. A-Z-D.
Sorry, just noisiness around me.
Fresh kicks. Yeah, popsicle.
We asked you what your feelings were.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Q now that he has been gassed up in such a fashion?
I think he's a mental case, frankly.
But he's great, TV.
Oh, I mean, most mental cases are, let's be honest.
Yeah.
What do you think Discovery TLC, you know, the Discovery Company has brought into this world? That's their bread and butter, putting insane people on television.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Casting cooked with this one. Definitely. I am still so conflicted about the season, but my God, if it is not entertaining.
Definitely. I think what I am really having fun with too is like having Venus propped up so much in the first half of the season, where it's like it feels like she's the only one that's right and she's having all these like correct reads on everything. And then getting to the post-merge, and, like, she has the same sort of, like, attitude, but now they're just showing us, like, how completely off base and wrong she is about, like, everything that's happening around her.
Yeah, and how every single step of the way, her ego just gets boosted more and more and more.
Uh-huh. It's, yeah, it is magical to watch.
Yeah. No, they are having a lot of fun with the story that they are telling. And then in contrast, having like just a handful of normal people, like, you know, Tiffany, Kenzie, Hunter, Charlie, Maria, just very like normal personalities, mm-hmm. to respond to them is so just
you have the Qs, the Bens, the Lizzes, the Devins,
the Venuses.
Yeah, the Charlies, they all have like very quirky personalities.
I don't think Charlie's that quirked up. I think he has...
This man yells Taylor Swift at every given opportunity.
Okay, and?
Are you saying you don't do that?
Yeah, what's your point, bro? Because, like, yeah, he's a little silly, but that's, like, his front, right? That's his, like... That's his
He's probably being coached by the producers.
Probably. And also, apparently, he had just gone on to see the T-Swift tour right before filming, so it's probably just... fresh on the mind. Because the thing is, when he actually talks about the game, of everyone, I think he's been like very, very on point with his like understanding of what like kind of situation he's in, the way things are like shaping up, and expressing and considering his options, right? Like when he, or like in the Split Tribal, and he was like, oh man, I'm really on the outs. I'm going to have to like really put in the work to get out of this. He was right. But when things sort of presented themselves to him, he's like, okay, cool. This also makes sense. I understand this now. Or like going into this episode where he gets brought into the Six Alliance and he's like, yeah, it's nice to like be, to have this group, but being in the group isn't necessarily the be-all end-all.
Yeah,
right.
He explains
very clearly that like it can just be a vehicle for him, and so like that side of like Charlie and his actual gameplay has been like very, very consistent and solid.
Yeah, I think the like extra level of introspection he kind of has, and like, oh, I guess, you know, as always, awareness of the game around him like serves him very well, because like for the most part, Maria is way more well connected to the group and like to other alliances, but Charlie is like getting way more benefit out of his connection to Maria than like she really is with her connection with Charlie. But we're seeing it as Charlie like using that to his advantage rather than just being kind of like strung along by Maria.
Yeah, because like Maria definitely has the connections, but I don't think she has quite the same game sense that Charlie has to like make those necessary game moves when they need to happen. Also, hi team.
Yeah, hey team. We were just kind of talking about how it's sort of like disappointing how Q is kind of like petered out a little bit when it felt like he had such a strong start coming into the merge.
All right, yeah. Q. Yeah, that was a wild performance out of Q this week.
Yeah, it's really just sad to see how such like a big personality just is so deflated and just really like has absolutely right. no impact it's just, on the game. Yeah, or the I mean, anymore.
Ultimately, I think it's just, I don't know. It's like, I felt like he was really starting to get somewhere and he had like some good ideas, but it's just all heading downhill and he's just kind of unraveling.
Yeah, he couldn't handle his plan going a different way, I guess.
Yeah, it, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's like having fun out there. I think in his own world, he's like, he feels like he's still in control in one way or another. But I don't really see how he gets past next episode because everyone's going to be like laser beam on him.
Yeah.
You gotta watch the first part of this episode when it comes out.
Truly, truly brain dead play.
I hate it so much.
I don't know. So I think an interesting sort of like fact or like tidbit trivia maybe too is for this season on the fantasy, and maybe this is too soon, who knows, but before this season we've never had somebody lose like four people in a row, but it happened with Soaring this season and now it's happened again with you.
Yeah, I've lost five in 3 weeks
technically. Yeah, from the redraft.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's like kind of sad, but
it feels so like patronizing when you say
I just want to like acknowledge it, and I don't think there's any other way for me to. It's
brutal,
but yeah, it's just like rough for it to happen.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of like, I guess, sort of continue it that thought into feeling like the at least like I think some combination of the three of the four I have, like, I really think are going to be in the final three. I think Charlie can kind of land anywhere, but I really, like, feel confident that Venus is making it to the final three somehow, even though she keeps catching targets. They just keep sort of, like, leaning more towards, like, an immediate threat rather than getting rid of her, even though nobody likes her. It's like the farther they get along, the more valuable she is.
Yeah. My ideal team going into the merge,
right,
which was all consisting of my pre-merge team,
uh-huh,
would have been Tiffany, Tevin, Maria, Kenzie.
Right.
And I see three out of four of them probably going pretty far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think the other thing I think I kind of see happening is I really think that Hunter is going to win almost every immunity challenge in the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time. I think that's the way we're leaning. And if he loses one, he has his idol.
Yeah.
I think he's going to like be able to go all the way to the end just on winning challenges.
I could see it. Because I just can't conceptualize a challenge that he doesn't crush.
Yeah, I think on the fantasy side of this season, it's pretty much all wrapped up.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think just with the longevity that my team probably has, even with Soaring having all of his players still, I think there's just enough of a point like deficit difference that it would be hard to make it up. Unless, like,
all right,
unless
that's it for the season, everyone.
Congratulations, Tune. Woo!
Like, Soaring could still have the players in the finale to like push it, but you know, it's hard to see that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is a very real chance that Q or Liz could be in final three.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Liz, I think at this point, kind of is in the same spot as a Venus. I think it's like one of those two,
mm-hmm,
but I don't see like Maria going that far. I don't see Ben making it that far. Q is just a complete like dark horse at this point. I could see him winning the whole damn thing. Mm-hmm. I could see him going next episode. I just, all my expectations at this point are just like thrown out the window. After this episode, I just have to accept things as they are. I do not know what is happening.
Yeah, and I think the tribal really goes out of the way to sort of have a complete like reset of the universe type feeling moment.
Yeah,
and that it's like it all falls apart, and I really just have no idea where the vote is landing at all. And I'm really surprised it went in the direction it did. Honestly,
that whole tribal, I was just holding on to hope that Q had like a big brain plan, you know. He was gonna pull all the votes on him and then have an idol in his Q skirt.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Something. Like,
he probably had a plan. Just
it's been here the whole time.
Like, he found an idol during hide and seek, and he's been hiding it in plain sight in his Q skirt the whole episode.
Yeah, and that could still be true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Anybody hopping on those day one Q skirts, though?
Yeah, I got a couple in the closet.
I'm waiting for the mischief drop.
Yeah.
But I guess some custom branding would be nice.
This was such a fun episode.
Right?
Until we got to tribal.
I mean, no, I still think tribal.
I disagree with that.
Tribal was just stressful.
The chaos of the episode, but I think that we're really starting to get returns back after, like, kind of a, like, disappointing pre-merge. But I really just think it's because, like, Yanu dominated the story so much.
Yeah.
But it also served its purpose in the narrative.
I think this is the kind of tribal that this season deserves.
Yes.
And I think this kind of tribal really... So here's what I don't remember if I ever said it, or if I said it when I was on the last episode I was on. Mm-hmm. But something that I've mentioned most, pretty much like every time I watched like the recent episodes, is that the thing that has really brought me back on this season from being like really just disappointing and not very fun or interesting, mm-hmm. is that it is such a meta season. Like, everything feels like it is going against the like rules and decorum of Survivor. It's like the hide and seek games. It's when Q talks to Hunter about the votes being on Tevin, Hunter gets up, is like, all right, I'm gonna go talk to him. And when Venus is like, hey, you guys gonna go talk? Yes. Without me? Yes. Like, there's just there is just nothing. It is just so
social niceties are
place.
Like aside, like, we're playing a game and I then, need to take this seriously. Right. So you need
and
to
then,
leave now.
And then when Hunter's talking to them, and he's like, you know, gestures one way. We cut to the other group, and Venus is like, oh, he's gesturing over here. He's looking over here. He's gesturing. Wait.
The play-by-play.
There's no rules here. I'm gonna go sit there. There's no rules. And she walks over. And it's just like, they're just the, like, again, just the all of the decorum of Survivor, it's just completely thrown out the window. Right. And, like, it's the same thing at Tribal. Q is just, like, throwing chaos into it for what? And it's not even, because, like, it's, there's been, you know, people who say vote for me, like, or quit or whatever. But, like, in this context, it just is so, like, outside of any kind of expectation. And then when we go to, like, live tribal in this context, again, it just feels like we are just simply not watching the same Survivor that we've been watching in the new era. You know,
and it's like it always comes like, down to the same thing, right? It's like, all right, what was different about this tribal compared to the last couple tribals?
Mm-hmm.
There is no dang twists in there. They just the players play, and look what happens. We get a fantastic episode.
Yeah,
we don't have a journey. We don't have a split tribal. There's like not really any advantage stuff happening. They're just out there, and they're having fun.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing with tribal is, like, I have never seen a more exacerbated series of voting confessionals ever.
Yeah.
I had to go back and watch them.
I was flabbergasted when the only word I heard after a vote was whatever. What do you mean, whatever? Yeah. Voting is the entire point of Survivor. You just wrote down your vote and said, whatever.
They're shaking their
That's
heads.
That's crazy.
They're shrugging their shoulders.
That's what I'm saying.
They're mugging
that's
the camera.
Like, that's what I'm saying. This season is built different. It's just so... I can't even, like, put it into words correctly.
Yeah, Charlie has been like happy-go-lucky
so
the whole
meta.
Season, but the way he stares into my soul in his voting confessional is like
he's begging for help.
All the joy has left his heart.
Yeah, and even just like little moments outside of these like huge, insane, like what the hell is going on? We get all these like little, again, meta moments where Charlie like jims the camera, you know, and it's just like, it feels like the producers are letting them break Survivor molds and are like really playing into it and like really letting the like chaotic personalities that we haven't really had in a long time just go insane, you know? It's just, it's, that's what has kind of won me over in the season is I think Toon put it a good way, is that it almost feels like a parody of itself. And I think that's what really has brought me around on the season and thinking of it as like, okay, this is really fun again.
Yeah. Somehow it became fun TV. Yeah. It only took us a pre-merge to get there.
Sure, sure.
All right. Any other thoughts on the episode before we move on?
Speed run. I thought hide and seek was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the Q skirt advertisements and him going around to each person one by one and giving like a full pitch.
Yeah, the compilation, yeah, the montage.
The challenge is a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we didn't even talk about the negotiation.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, the rice negotiation. Yes, is actually very relevant.
I was gonna get to that as well. I'm really down on like making the rice negotiation part of the show, and or like at least introducing it formally as like, hey, I'm gonna negotiate for rice now. Oh, but I'm Jeff Probst. No. I'm not gonna bargain with you. You four people sit out, you idiots.
Yeah, I feel like negotiation is just like the wrong word for it.
It's Jeff says no if you try and counter off.
I loved Charlie like when he's hanging on by a thread and he's like, I've got you right where I want you, Jeff.
See, but that's what I'm saying. The cast is just like, it's the way they interact with Jeff, the way they like handle these challenges, the way they handle everything just feels like it's so like they know Survivor, but not in the way that you would normally say that. They know like Survivor the TV show. And it feels like they hired actors.
Right, and they're just breaking all the rules.
It's like, it's crazy. And like, even the rice negotiation kind of plays into that. Because, like, so often with the negotiation, they end up getting the rice one way or another, right? But again, this cast is not playing Survivor. They are not, like, this is not a regular cast. It's not a regular season of Survivor. So put in this situation where logically and kind of expectantly, four people would sit out, because as we saw in the challenge, like, yeah, four people pretty quickly like fell out. And, you know, even the out of like six or whatever that fell out pretty quickly, at least two other people should have said, you know what, it's probably worth it to sit out. But this cast is not normal. And they, again, break the rules and kind of just say, no, we're all gonna play. And so it's just, it just feels like every step of the way they are doing everything wrong, but in like the best way possible.
Shout out our anime protagonist Hunter with the absolute G move at the end. Like, oh yeah, I had
that was crazy.
Position.
Well, I think the real move that won him the game was, it was like Charlie checking on Hunter or something, and he's like, yeah, like this one works pretty well in my rotation or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, I got a couple
and
good rotations.
And then Charlie immediately crumbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you have rotations? The weight... like, you're on a different level.
Yeah, the weight of trying to process what the hell he means by rotations. Like, you have rotations? You're not, like, struggling and just, like, trying to make do. You have, like, a whole plan, like, a whole, like, workout regimen to just swap through whenever,
so, yeah,
like,
fighting
you know,
for
things
life.
Get weak. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, yeah, you are simply built different. Just go next.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have a feeling Hunter's in this one for the long run.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing that's kind of interesting that, you and I have talked about, Toon, is like in this winning Kenzie game,
right?
We have this sort of cooldown episode, as we call it, where like last episode, it was like the Kenzie show, right? Or at least she got a lot of attention outside of like what you would kind of expect normally. And then so coming into this episode, especially when we kind of thought that like Tiffany was on the line, it makes sense to us that Kenzie sort of gets put on the back burner so that in the context of assuming Kenzie does win, they don't want to A, make it too obvious, or B, make it seem like she misplayed and that's why like Tiffany goes home, right?
Yeah, I mean, also
Tiffany doesn't end up going home, but
like so much chaos happens in this tribal, it's like you don't really want Kenzie to come out of this looking dumb. It's okay for her to look like she is bewildered by what's going on, because obviously it's a crazy situation, but you don't want to make her seem like she's just entirely in the dark. Also, she like puts it best herself. Like Yanu has kind of been leading the last couple of votes, so it's time to like step back a little bit and let the game happen.
Yeah,
and that's what she does.
Yeah, absolutely. I think despite being a sort of like low Kenzie content episode, I do feel like it strengthens her game as a whole.
Yeah, getting
ironically
more Kenzie, would have been worse for her.
Yeah.
So I see the vision. Also, classic, just speaking of like tribal stuff, when Tiffany finds out that like Q told like Maria and Charlie about her idol, I'm like, it's just A, obviously great TV, but like Tiffany has become one of my favorite people on the cast. Just because, again, kind of in the context of like so much chaos, she's like by far the most like level-headed, despite all of the nonsense that she has had to deal with. And like this moment again where she's just kind of like, within all the chaos, you get this kind of bombshell dropped on you,
right?
And then you don't play your idol,
right? Yeah, just
I'm
accepting
like, that's
it,
crazy.
Accepting it and moving forward.
Ice in her veins, honestly.
Right, and it's like, I am so genuinely impressed with like Tiffany as a player and as like a person, because like I would have cracked under that pressure 100%. But like,
yeah, when there's so much unknown,
Tiffany's just
and
really...
you know you're already a target.
Yeah, yeah, and so like Tiffany's really, really fun, ironically, in a season that's fun because it's so chaotic. She's really fun because, again, having her just be so like strong-willed in response to just the absolute nuttiest situations is just the perfect contrast. And so like I don't necessarily know like what her game looks like going forward, especially now that like her trust in Q is just completely shot, but I hope she sticks around because she's really fun.
It's true. If I could go back in time and spoil this season, I would just say that everybody with a J in their name goes out premier. That's all. All right, let's go ahead and look at points real quick. Not too much to cover here. Teeb, Raxxon, 4 points, just from the episode points from Tiffany and Tevin. Tevin is not much longer in this game, so that leaves just Tiffany going forward. But Tiffany still has an idol. Tevin had the extra vote and did not use it, so that goes away into the ether. I was kind of curious, and I like wanted to look up, like, is the extra vote just, like, cursed? Is it always, like, a bad thing to have? And I think it's, like, a little more just 50-50 than that, because Maria even used one earlier and like she's still kind of fine. That's that. Next up with a 4-point lead up there is Soaring, who also kind of only racks in episode points here. There's not a lot going on in this episode in terms of like point worthy
really
things.
As vanilla as it can get,
but that's okay because like the episode itself was lots of fun. It wasn't a boring episode, even though our scoreboard kind of makes it seem like that,
unless the target unless the target of the vote out has lost their vote. This is the least amount of points that could have possibly.
Yeah.
And then,
and we're not giving Hunter hide and seek winner points,
right?
No,
he doesn't need them.
No,
and then there's
he'll get enough points.
5 points up. Same. I just get the run of episode points plus Hunter wins immunity. Get used to it. And Venus, for some reason, ends up getting another vote in save point. So she just keeps giving me that little chip damage, but in a good chip healing. just keep cashing in on the Venus vote and save points, which has been 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I'd like to direct your attention to the unit totals page and see how Hunter is so much more head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That'll happen. And look at Venus. Look at Venus. It's number 3 in climbing. It's going to be tied with Tevin next episode.
Yeah.
He's just the best player.
Something like that. All right.
I thought Q was the best player.
Yeah. So total points.
In Q's mind, maybe.
Oh, well, in everyone's mind. You just don't know it yet. Watch the beginning of the episode.
So in terms of
we cooked.
Total points, Soaring is still at the bottom for now at 121. Next up is Teeb with 144. It's like 20. I'm not doing that. What, 23 points up ahead? I'm not doing this next one. Then I am sitting at
37
points. Yeah. Thank you. I knew it would come to me one way or another. 137 points ahead of Teeb.
It actually came to you two ways.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Any trades?
Sorry, any trades?
Nope.
No.
Well, last week.
Yeah, last week I heard you were thinking about a Tevin Hunter trade.
Or I would have even probably taken Tevin Kenzie. I think that's what I proposed.
Well, I think Hunter's going to win all the challenges and Kenzie's probably going to win. So, yeah, I don't have any trades. I think I'll just stick with the group I got here.
If only you were here last week. You might have taken that one.
No.
No, he would have never sought that. Those two are locked in. I know that for sure. All
right.
So do we think next episode opens with Q confessional about how everything that he just did was all calculated?
No, that would be breaking character. He has to save it for the final three.
Yeah.
No. He does it every single time. Every time he loses a challenge, I did that on purpose. I wanted to cause chaos. I wanted to... I never wanted to really quit.
I think for
sure... I just
sure,
wanted everyone to get their plans in my world or whatever.
Yeah, their plans are now part of my zeitgeist.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's how we open?
I think we get cold open and people coming back to camp and are like,
Sure.
What
of course.
The you know?
And Q's like, what do you mean? Q skirt.
No, man, I would be pretty, you know, upset, you know, that you're getting rid of my friend. And it didn't matter who was going to go home there. He was going to say, you're getting rid of my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll just have to see. Who knows? All right. Well, that just wraps it up for us this week.
Ha! Big mistake. See, the fact that you close the episode again reinforces the fact that you think you're the leader, and I don't want something that's gonna try to lead the show against me. You're out of here.
If you want to check out our other episodes, go to rngshow.com.
Ha! Big mistake, Teeb. Teeb, you just made a mistake.
Thank you to Subtac for the use of our theme song.
Ha!
Up.
Soaring, you fell into my trap. You just made a big mistake.
Thank you, Zoe, for editing this episode.
Zoe, you fell into my trap too.
Zoe's falling into the trap.
You made a mistake editing me. I planned this all along.
And if you want to go check out our fantasy spreadsheet where we got our unit totals, our episode points, our draft order, everything in between, you can go over to rngshow.com/46 or just click the link in the show notes. Don't forget, Q's the best player of all time. We'll see you next week where we'll talk about whatever happens in episode 9, probably Liz going home, but I guess we'll just have to see.
Ha! Fred, you've fallen into my trap.
What?
By calling out everybody else's flaws, you've really outed yourself as a judgmental person.
What? It's all blown up in my face!
Yeah, you might as well just quit.
Yeah. Guys. I quit.
Alright, I build off tune.
What?
Yes! I build off tune.
Alright, goodbye. Bye-bye.